When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
What is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Final hour of the show, 60, Mel 59. On the clock as we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7, as we always tell you. Go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the page for The Usual Suspects. You will find everything that you missed in the first couple hours of the show.
You hold up those balls like you've done that before.
It's one ball,
oh,
Hitler.
Wow.
And in the process, I was going to mention and
give a shout out
to our good friends at the Roughnecks and the XFL, who were gracious enough to send us over a game ball for the XFL. Very interesting-looking football. Big logo, obviously, for the league. It says Roughnecks at the bottom. But some of the interesting things, as you mentioned, one, there's a pattern in the leather of the ball that are all X's.
Little tiny X's.
The two, dare I say, nipples or ends of the ball.
The points.
The
of
points.
The football. The nipples.
Have what would you call that? Like a fighter plane
mentality? Oh, my God.
Mentality.
That's two fumbles.
A fighter, like...
What are you, Deshaun Watson in the first drive of a series or first drive of a game?
Red and white star like
an X
flares that make. Oh yeah, there you go.
Oh my
it's
god,
it's an X.
How did you not see that?
I think you should just tweet out a picture, sir.
Yeah,
and I'll do that as well, and we'll have more details
at
later.
Pac-Man Joel.
Shout outs and thanks to the XFL and the Roughnecks, Houston Roughnecks, for
sending
that
cool.
Our way. Very cool stuff.
Pretty. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like when they throw it with the red and white X's on each.
Well, it's going to show for many guys that you can't throw a spiral.
Yeah,
yeah.
When it wobbles,
yeah,
it's going to look like it spells triple X.
Maybe they should put wings on the side of it, so then when it's a wounded duck, and it could at least instead of quacking, you could at least see the wings flapping.
Cody Rogers tweeted us and said, "Dude." Dude won't dress up as a cheerleader for 100K?
That's
damn.
Crazy.
Give me a six-pack of Mickey's and a family-sized bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, and we have a deal.
Done. Come over to the station, bro. Let's do it.
Cody Stoots just tweeted that?
Cody Rogers. I do not want to see Cody Stoots dress up like as a cheerleader. They'd be like, oh, look, there's 9 cheerleaders. They made a pyramid. Nope, that's Cody Stoots.
So he did wrestler for Halloween.
Yes.
Which was funny.
Yeah.
And fantastic.
Great. It was amazing.
With Jose Partido over his shoulders. I mean, come on.
I've given him a hard time about this. I know it's shocking to you. But
oh, you being mean to people?
I'm not being mean. No, because he's done it before. He's gone as the Chippendale dancer that Farley played on Saturday Night Live when he was next to. That would be a perfect one.
Yes.
But Cody would actually do it. And I don't think that his ransom price would be that high.
I would agree.
Right?
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Nick, 100 grand?
Yeah, that's a no. That's a no. People will make fun of me forever.
But AJ does that anyway. So what's the difference if a few people pile on?
Why did you pick AJ? You don't make fun of me. Barry doesn't make fun of me.
I don't make fun
no.
of
you. No. AJ goes for the personal stuff.
That?
He goes for the horn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's kind of off.
It's his only go-to. Did he do that a lot this week?
He did not a lot, but he did it. I mean, I made fun of his crossed eyes, so it was all good. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's really not off limits when you think about the culture here at ESPN 97.5.
Well, that's the culture he's created.
So, I mean, it's really not that big a deal.
When you made those jokes, did he see it coming? Or
he didn't see it coming. He laughed.
I see what you did there. Very, very well
I didn't
done.
Even see what you were doing there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe I got the crossed eyes. I don't know.
You didn't even see that coming.
Nope.
Oh, that was fun.
It was a good trip. I mean, I can't complain. Cody was fun. Hung out with everybody there. Cody, Jake,
good.
Alex. It was fun.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Do I sound sad?
No.
Every day.
No, you
well,
do
somebody
not sound
texted
sad.
And said, why is Barry so sad? I'm not sad.
That's okay. When we were on the remote, people were absolutely convinced I had the flu.
Really?
And I guess it's because our when we're on a remote, the mics sound different.
It's different, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people sending Packers texts, and I'm deleting them for you.
I'm aware of it. They sucked. The Niners were great. Tip of the cap. Way to go, Niners. Was it disappointing? Yes. Was I upset because, you know, you listen to this stupid song, you wait all day for Sunday night, Carrie Underwood? Yeah, I expected them to show up at least. It was
still
awful.
A massive three-game stretch for the 49ers. What is it? Packers? Then they play the Saints? Then they play the – who else? It's three badass teams.
They still have to play the Seahawks.
The Ravens.
Again.
It's Packers, Saints, Ravens. Back to back
Ravens,
to back.
There you go. Yep.
Packers, Ravens, Saints.
Or, yeah, not necessarily another, but that's still a crazy stretch.
Still have to play the Seahawks, too.
Yeah, it doesn't stop there. Then you go Falcons, Rams, and Seahawks to finish the season. So we're about to really find out if the 49ers are legit or not. Because the next six games, their last six games, are definitely their toughest six games.
Yeah, I was not happy, but I mean, I'll tip my cap and give credit where credit is due. Niners outplayed them, played their ass off. Packers made a lot of dumb mistakes.
How good is George Kittle?
Kittle's really good, but how good? Boy, if you're the Bosa's growing up.
He was hurt, though. I mean, they said he played through pain. Kittle did.
Chicago Bears, take note, and any team that's trying to rebuild their franchise, follow the Niners' plan. For all the John Lynch hate when he got the GM with no experience.
Uh-huh.
Take a look at what he did. He took four first-round picks on his defensive line. They showed the stats last night, and obviously Bosa's off the planet.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at those four guys, and each of them have at least six and a half sacks.
Getting it
all
done.
All four guys, and you multiply. So just take that and do the multiplication. That's the way you create a team in the trenches that does things.
Remember when everybody was like, oh, my God, Garoppolo throw 18 interceptions.
I don't believe in him still, though. I think the shortcoming for Jimmy G is going to be when the lights get bright and the stage gets big, he's got to prove it to me.
Well, I mean, he's the starting quarterback for a team that's 10-1 in the NFL.
I'm not trying to take anything away from him. I'm just saying, and he's the James Harden to me right now, the NFL. No, he can play in the regular season. He's got to do it in the playoffs to show me something.
Well, that's the whole team, though. But I'm saying for Garoppolo, as bad as it looked in preseason when he was just throwing interception after
people
interception.
People at practice were saying he threw five straight interceptions. And
now, I mean, he looks like that was just him getting back. I mean, remember, he was injured, so he's playing really well.
Kiara Mia can do that to you, but when you straighten out your life and your porn star game, you can
there
do some things.
Give Jimmy Garoppolo a few more seasons, though. I mean, I can see the Harden comparison.
I'm not anointing him great. Oh yeah, about
I mean,
the
in
Harden
regards
thing.
To that. Yeah. Oh yeah, because he's not. It's not like he's playing really good in the regular season each and every year, and then crap in the bed come postseason. It's just, but it is still somewhat. It is. I see the comparison that you're making, but. Still, I mean, just like Barry said, he was injured last year and he didn't play.
Shut up, but just like Barry said. Speaking of things that we need to get to, a longtime suspect who has been MIA for some time is on the board, and not surprisingly, Nick, you are in his crosshairs. Jerry! Where the hell have you been?
Listen, I already told Joe about this. When you guys figure out the technology to make a signal go to Sugarland, I'm your guy.
What?
He said he
You're
can't
about to get
the
dumped.
Show.
You're don't about have, to get dumped, bro.
Yeah, you don't have the app, bro? Do you even app,
I got
bro?
The app.
Well, then what's your excuse?
Yeah, my Cricket Wireless ain't reaching out there either.
Oh, okay.
You can't Bluetooth just it in your automobile, Jerry?
You can afford to live in Sugarland, but you can't afford a decent phone. I get it.
I don't live in Sugarland. I live in Mo City, baby. Like your boy Nick.
That's the hood.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Mo City and your boy Nick. My neighborhood gives out the good Halloween candies. We got some king size, Twix, Snickers. Should have seen what your boy Nick was wearing for Halloween. He's trying to act all timid about his cheerleading outfit. I've seen, he said seven figures. I've seen what he'll do for two figures.
Whatever.
It ain't good.
Fingers or figures, Jerry? What did you just say?
Both.
Okay.
Oh, I hate you.
You seen what he did for
when
two
I
Snickers,
moved to
huh?
Texas, excuse me, when I moved to Texas, I had to pay.
Was that a finger?
The crook.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, hold on, Nick. Let me get the other one out. Okay, I'm ready to go. So when I moved from New York, it cost me $7,000 of cash to move all my stuff to here, which wasn't even worth $7,000 of cash. It was a baseball cap full of 20s. And Nick was standing next to me, and I said, hey, here's this baseball cap full of 20s. Now, put this thing on and smile. Boy, you'd have a grin from ear to ear. How many chicken sandwiches I can buy? Anyway, be good, boys. I'm listening.
Appreciate
Thank you, Jerry. Good to hear from you.
All right, Jerry.
Later.
Jerry's back.
It's good to have Jerry back.
Jerry told me he's been doing a lot of hot yoga.
Oh, wow. I'm super shocked that the guy that gets his eyebrows waxed is doing hot yoga.
Jerry's doing eyebrows and hot yoga while his knee is recovered still recouping.
Like he's recovered from that ACL. Was it MCL? Whatever it was.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Guy who waxed his eyebrows does hot yoga.
He said he was leaning out by doing his hot yoga.
Why this is not a compliment, like, but his eyebrows are perfect.
Because it's more of the New York style. When he said that,
that's more of a...
Don't see. You have to make it. You always have to make it.
But
you have to,
what, it's not New York. You're...
Forget about it.
Else.
Forget about it, Nick. Get the baseball hat full of the cash. Take that. It's a lot better. Or I'll take something else and take your ass out of here. I'll drive you in a van. Ass. What?
Whoa.
Almost.
Almost.
Checking you. Yay. Where's your reflexes today on a Monday?
Oh, man, I just got back from Vegas. Give me a chance. Give me a day.
Right.
Well, you said you slept all day yesterday.
I did. Otherwise, I would not even be able to function, honestly. I had to sleep.
So
I
that's a Tuesday.
Yeah, something like that. Okay.
All right. So we really have gone through a lot of different things. The one thing in the NFL, too, just looking at, we were talking about the Niners, but you look at the rest of the NFL and – obviously, everybody thinks, well, the cream has risen to the crop. I'm interested to see
the top
how Lamar Jackson. Sure, that too. I'm interested to see how Lamar Jackson plays against the Rams defense tonight.
Yes,
that's one thing I'm looking at. Two, based on what you had just said and what I've seen in terms of a lot of schedules with a lot of teams, don't necessarily think if this was the college football playoffs, don't necessarily think that the teams that are in the top four or five now are going to be there at the end of the season because there are so many teams with so many games that are going to be difficult. And the fact that there's a two-team race. Seattle's right there with the Niners for that division. And you make the Niners play on the road at all, and that could be different. And with their schedule, they could slip a few times. Minnesota, now tied with the Packers in the North. Minnesota's a team not many people are talking about that could be a force to be reckoned with if they continue to play well.
You bring up a good point about Seattle, you know, catching the Niners because they got Vikings, Rams, Panthers, Cardinals. That last game is Niners-Seahawks. It's very possible that that game is for the difference between the division and the wild card.
And the difference is, too, you don't want to go to Seattle.
No. Because the Vikings isn't going to be an easy game. The Rams isn't going to be an easy game.
Right.
The Panthers, I don't know.
Depends on what they are at that point.
But then the Cardinals, obviously, are the Cardinals. So it's not like the Seahawks have an easy schedule. They just have it easier than the Niners do. And that could be the difference in one game, which could mean they're tied going into the final game of the season. Now, that would be a fun game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So we'll continue to watch that for you and talk about it, obviously, week to week, as the big one this weekend ends up being Sunday Night Football, Texans hosting the Patriots. So that's one that you want to keep your eyes and ears on, as we'll probably have Sarah Barshop at the end of the week talking about that as well. So that's why you come to the Suspects. We bring you the information and the fun. Back with more, speaking of that, right here on ESPN 97.5 in just mere moments. Here we go, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's more The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel, as we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. I assume, Nick, I don't know if you traveled back with them or not, I assume they're all back in one piece. With the exception of maybe a little lighter in their wallets, but they're back and ready to go.
Well, with an exception of our man Jerry Bo, because he's playing in a World Series poker tournament.
That's right. He stayed. I saw him tweeting about that.
Yeah, so he was there. It was kind of cool because in the fight, they put Booker T, Brad Gilmore, and our very own Jerry Bo
on the screen,
on the big screen.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see them in stadium at MGM Grand on the big screen.
Okay.
People flock to Booker T, don't they?
Without a doubt,
that dude is so popular.
He is a big draw.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So, and he's on our station, so that's very, very cool. Good to have him in the family, so to speak. With that being said, Clarence wants to get in here, talk a little playoffs, NFL. Geez, shocker. Saints win. Clarence is on line one.
Why is that such a shock? I wasn't even going to mention the Saints. Look at you. I'll be wrong to mention the Packers, but we're not
Thank
even
you.
Going to go there.
I appreciate it. I didn't believe me. I didn't want to go there. I had to watch that crap.
Yo, we all did, especially since my defense was riding in the fantasy league. That's neither here nor there.
It didn't ride. It rode right off.
Touchdown.
Yep. What you got?
But all right. I'm just happy that for the first time in a long time, down the stretch, we're actually going to get meaningful football, especially in the NFC playoff contention, because all the teams are separated by one or two games and being number one. And if the 49ers win this coming week and the Saints win, they're going to be fighting for the number one spot. And then eventually the Vikings and whoever else plays off, everyone's going to be fighting.
Green Bay, Clarence, they're in the same division. They'll fight it out with Green Bay. Thank you.
I didn't want to mention them. You know, they got beat so bad, I forgot about them.
I'm not jumping off the bandwagon I've been on for far too long my whole life. No, they're going to fight it out with Green Bay.
Yep. So they're going to have to play down the stretch. Then we have Seattle. It's just going to be great, meaningful football, and it's great for everyone watching. Well, except for people not in the playoffs, right? So, you know, but
I mean, to Clarence's point, I don't know if we lost him or not. But even from a Texans perspective, for as unhappy as people were, it could be a lot worse if you're talking about a team that's not going to sniff the playoffs or is on, you know, doesn't have a very good percentage like the Colts now are sitting. Whereas opposed to 7-4, in have the tiebreaker and you're on top of the division, it could be a lot worse. And I even brought that up. I said last week, you could be the Bengals. For all these people that had the red ass, I was like, you could be the Bengals. You could be a team that probably doesn't even want to win one game this year just to save face because they got to guarantee the number one overall pick. Their entire situation is a mess. They haven't sniffed the playoffs when they did have a franchise quarterback. They got a guy that went up on the building and said he's going to stay there until the Bengals win a game. Well, he may stay up there until next year. I mean, that's how bad it could get. So Texans fans, when people say it could be worse, it could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot worse, but here's what I people are kind of sleeping on the Titans in this division.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would be one of them probably.
Me too.
They're 6-5. The Colts are 6-5. They've won two in a row. Tannehill is managing that team well. He's not, you know, he's not going out and balling out like Deshaun Watson, but he's also not making a bunch of dumb mistakes. And don't forget, the Titans have two games left with the Texans. They hold their destiny in their own hands. Listen to the, now, you just tell me, this is the schedule down the stretch for each of the teams, and I'll start at the top and we'll go through it, right? Mm. We know that the Texans have the Patriots and the Broncos, and then they've got Titans, Bucks, Titans, okay? Mm-hmm. The Colts have the Titans, and then Bucks, Saints, Panthers, Jags.
Not really.
Saints, Panthers could be sure. A couple of losses on there if they lose if they don't beat the Titans.
Can I just throw this out?
That
though?
Could be bad.
They put Eric Ebron, who they've gone to as one of their major weapons at tight end, on IR today.
The Colts did.
Yeah, I think if Chris Ballard sees what's going on and what it's going to take to overtake the Texans, he may go, let's just pull the plug now and get the best draft pick and reset the deck next year.
Well, but you figure, I mean, with Ebron going on IR and the way that the Titans are playing right now, that's a winnable game for the Titans.
I see what you're saying.
Right? Yep. And then that puts them kind of in the driver's seat with two games left against the Texans. And the Texans we've talked about are Jekyll and Hyde. Which team shows up? If you split, the Texans still have to face the Patriots. The Titans do not. Their schedule down the stretch is Colts, Raiders, Texans, Saints, Texans. So they have the Saints on their schedule. But they literally hold the division in their own hands. If the Titans handle their business and just win their division games, they win this division.
I don't, because it's the Titans. I don't know, Nick, how you feel about it. Because it's the Titans, I don't worry about it. Whether it's Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, or whoever else.
Let me ask you a question. Who do you think has the higher plus-minus ratio in the division? The Texans, the Titans, or the Colts?
Well, if you're saying it that way, yeah, probably the exactly. Titans.
It is absolutely the Titans. They're a plus 28. They've given up they've scored 245 points and given up 217.
My opinion on that, though, is with the Titans, so one-dimensional that if you stop the run, you can stop the Titans.
So they're outscoring the Colts, 245 to 244.
Obviously, they had a big game yesterday against the Jags. They scored a lot of points.
But they've only given up 217 points. The Texans have given up 249. The Colts have given up 226. Now, the Texans put some points on the board. They've got 265 points that they've scored, so they're outscoring the Titans.
My whole thing is just, you know.
But this is to my point. I'm sorry. But my point was I think people are sleeping on the Titans because they didn't start off great and they've not been in this conversation.
But I think it's also.
But they have the same exact record as the Colts, and we don't mention them when we say, well, this division's between the Texans and the Colts.
But it's the same reason why people aren't happy that the Texans beat the Colts and look like they're going to. Because they've seen this story before. Most people have seen this same story with the Titans and go, yeah, okay, but fool's gold there too. They, you know, they've had these opportunities before.
All three of these teams could be fool's gold, and they pretty much are.
Well, I don't disagree.
I mean, I think the Indianapolis Colts are just a lot more likable team. They definitely passed the eye test, I think, better than the Tennessee Titans. You had an unbelievable running back in Marlon Mack. You talk about a team that you would think the season is absolutely over with the advent of the Andrew Luck exit. There's a bunch of situations that were thrown at the Indianapolis Colts that I think they did a pretty decent job of overcoming. And I just don't see that with this Tennessee Titans team. They put 42 points on their opponent this week.
Jags.
I don't see Tannehill doing that in the next two games. I feel like in the next two games he's going to regress. I don't think he's going to get better. So
they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Does that not count? They beat the Chiefs 35-32.
Right. But my point is about when you're coming off a 42-point performance like that, are you going to be able to maintain that if you're Ryan Tannehill at this point in the season over the course of next two games? My guess is no. And that's the reason
I'm not going to crap on Derrick Henry because he's a big, strong, legitimate running back.
I'm all over it.
Yeah,
I love it.
He's unreal.
Right. It's just Tannehill and that team. It's just I don't necessarily believe it.
But I think the difference to me between the three when we talk about fool's gold is one thing that doesn't – the one thing that will can hold up a team like the Titans is good defense. And they play really good.
They spend a lot of money on defense.
Dude, yes. But they're a very good defensive football team. That's going to keep them in any game against just about any team.
Do you feel better if I say the only team that's going to dethrone the Texans, if there is a team for the division this year, is going to be Tennessee? Because you look at, and Nick brings up a good point, with Mack already out, with Ebron now put on IR, I think the signs are more and more like they had their shot, they didn't get it done, they're going to pull the plug now. But I think I see your point that the Titans are in the discussion and people aren't giving them consideration.
Yeah, right. All we talk about is the Colts and the Texans in this division, and the Titans have quietly climbed back into the division race at 6-5.
There is, but that part of it too is we've seen this story play out before with Tennessee. The other thing is they're as sexy as Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
You know? So people are just like,
And when you look at losses, I get it, because you're like, well, but look who the Titans have lost to. I mean, they lost to the Colts and the Jags. They lost to the Bills and the Broncos. They lost to the Panthers. Well, that's fine. Every team in this division has ugly losses because the Colts lost to the Dolphins. So don't if you're going to start talking about ugly losses, that's one of the worst. I mean, if you know, I'm not going to sit here and say the Texans have better losses because that's just a stupid ass statement to make. But they've lost to the Saints, the Panthers, the Colts, and the Ravens. So they've lost to better teams.
Yeah,
in most cases, I think that the Titans, if nothing else, it's weird to say this, tied for second in the division, but they hold their destiny in their own hands. They could absolutely win this division.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm going to disagree with you. Also, the other thing I will say is that half of those points all came in the third quarter. Four touchdowns scored and six offensive plays. I can promise you the Titans will never do that again. Not one more time. They're not going to score four touchdowns and six offensive plays in the third quarter in any of the games for the remainder of this season. I guarantee you that much. So I won't guarantee that they won't win the division. I just disagree with you. But that blur of points absolutely held them in that game. I mean, that normally doesn't happen on good teams playing, let alone the Titans, led by Ryan Tannehill. So it's going to be interesting to see. If they can pull over, you know, if they can get grouped together a bunch of wins, I would be super impressed. I'll give you full credit. I just don't see it. And I don't like Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback.
They put up 21 points in the fourth quarter against the Browns. They have several double-digit quarters in some of their wins. I think part of the problem is your point is They're like all the teams in this division, they're hit or miss, right? They're not consistent, and that's a problem with the division as a whole, not just the Titans. But
for sure, without a doubt.
Fair enough. They're not going to put up another quarter like that, but I mean, they scored 24.5 against the Falcons and hung on to win that because they didn't score in the second half. So I think they're just my whole point was I don't think Tennessee is great. I don't think any of these three teams in this division are great. They're just not getting the run that the other two are, and they should be.
That's a fair point.
And they should be.
So and they're doing with their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Not the guy who started the season for him, right?
Right.
So,
but I think it's fair to say Tannehill is better than Mariota.
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure. And I think that if anybody has a chance of coming back there next year, it's Tannehill, not Mariota. So, okay, so there you go. So the Titans actually have a shot, according to Barry Laminek. You know what else? You have.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Fred, Aaron, AJ, the Blitz, they take you till 7. All right here on ESPN 97.5, so we look forward to all that.
I did a little number crunching in the break.
Thanks, Daryl. We always appreciate you.
Well, I was wondering, I was like, well, when did Tannehill actually take over? Because I think that has something to do with it, too. Like, how long did they give Mariota, and how good or bad was this team, you know, whether you want to call
it? They gave Mariota, what, 3 years?
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about this season. So their first 6 games, they took over Tannehill, or Mariota was benched in the Broncos game, which was week 6.
Okay.
All right. So leading up to that, this offense was generating 16 points a game under Mariota. They went 2-4. Since Tannehill's taken over the last 5 games, they're 4-1, and they're putting up 29.4 points a game, almost 30. They've doubled their offensive output, and along with that defense still. Now, they're giving up more points, but guess what? When you score more, you got to kick the ball off. The other offense gets more opportunities to put more points on the board. So, but they still, I mean, this, if Tannehill continues, and if somebody tweeted that, JD said, I think I read where Tano has the most touchdown passes and the highest QB rating since week 8. I don't know about that, but I just know when you look at this offense prior to Ryan Tannehill taking over, it wasn't very good, and they're putting up points now. And like you said, it's a lot of it is the running game, but still, you got to move the ball, and they're definitely doing that and putting up points.
Yep, no doubt about it. Other NFL notes, in case you missed it and don't think that this wasn't planning for the future, Mason Rudolph was benched by the Steelers, they came back and got a win. They said it's up for grabs as to who's quarterback next week. Guess who they play? Browns.
Ooh.
I don't think Mason Rudolph's going to play in that game.
I don't think he's – yeah, you're probably right on that.
And then Dwayne Haskins. Did you see this? Got his first win as an NFL quarterback. Got a win because his defense got a big stop late. Decided to celebrate on the sidelines.
Took a selfie with a fan.
Went and took a selfie with a fan and didn't realize there was time on the clock and they had to get Case Keenum out there to take a knee. Wow. And when they asked him about it in the post game, he kind of laughed it off, and so did Bill Callahan, the fill-in interim head coach. Then a media member went, Dwayne, to be clear, are you telling me that there was no time on the clock and you took the selfie after the game? And he said, yes. That's where you just say, I don't know. And maybe I screwed up, bro. But instead, you say, it happened after the game, and now you're going to have people that are going to come at you at practice, and they're going to keep prodding at you, and they're going to give you a hard time.
That was definitely a media or rookie mistake. You'll probably learn from that for sure.
Gotta own it. Gotta own it.
You gotta Andy Pettit before you Roger Clemens. It pays off in the long run.
What an ugly game that was, too.
Yeah, it's just not. It's like a Lions game. No one cares. They suck.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't make any cheese or, you know, any cat jokes. It's just they're really bad. And now that Matt Stafford's out, they're worse.
Lions are awful.
Yeah. So they're helping you in terms of when we compare the two divisions. They're helping you.
Oh, yeah. Where are we at on that?
I haven't looked at it, but I mean,
I'll look.
With your Titans making a surge.
baby.
Well, guess what? Divisionally, your Texans got a win, but your Colts got a loss. And your Jags got a loss.
Shut up.
So I'm just pointing it out.
So what? What is
Bears won.
Huh?
Bears won. They beat the Giants.
Let's see.
Vikings didn't play, so I didn't lose ground there. And then the Lions crapped a bit.
Well, you're lucky because you got that one tie that the Lions have. So you don't get... normally, that's going to be a loss for the Lions.
Should have been a win.
Should have been a loss, too, because they tied.
They're winning the whole game.
Could have been. Could have, should have, would have, right? All right, so NFC North right now sitting at 24 wins.
God, your Texans are only one game behind my Packers with the other bet. That's sickening to me.
So it's 24 wins to 23 wins. The NFC North has one more win than the AFC South.
Still in the driver's
seat. You're like, now, in the loss
Because you're one game behind. Why? Because I'm better than you. That's what I'm talking about.
In the loss column, it's a little better for you. What is it? That's the NFC North has 19 losses, and the AFC South has 21.
Okay.
So that tie helped you.
Sure.
So it should be 21-20.
At the end of the season, as long as I'm right, I don't care.
Well, and you won't be.
We'll see. Okay.
What does Green Bay's remaining schedule look like?
Go ahead. Please look at it. Please look at it. It starts with the Giants this weekend. It includes the Bears. It includes
Giants, Redskins, Bears, Vikings, Lions.
Yeah, the Thunder Kitties.
You've got the Packers have one game left of any, you know, significance.
If the Vikings that could decide the division.
If they don't run the table, the Packers are a fraud.
Oh, stop.
If they
they have to go to Minnesota and play.
No.
You just got done telling me how good the Vikings are. So then you tell me that going on the road.
I didn't tell you the Vikings were good. When did I tell you that?
We were talking about playoff teams. And we were talking about when Clarence called, others called about good teams down the stretch. We're going to see good games.
They're in it. That doesn't mean that I didn't say they were good. They're just in the playoff hunt. That's what he said.
Best running back in the game. We already had that discussion.
Yeah, we've had that discussion.
Two probably the best tandem receivers on any team.
Okay. But you've been crapping on Kirk Cousins, and ever since his teammates called him out,
I'm always going to crap on Kirk Cousins, but he has been playing well.
I'm just saying, man, both at 8-3, and when you look at what is Minnesota's schedule down the stretch? Oof. If the Packers do not win this division, they're a fraud. The Vikings have the Seahawks.
Last night almost convinced me they are.
The Vikings have the Seahawks, the Lions, the Chargers, the Packers, and the Bears left.
Well, they get a bye week called the Lions.
Fine, but they still have to play the Seahawks, Chargers, and Packers.
I'm crapping all over that dude that called us C-A-W-D and then had the audacity to throw the Lions in any conversation.
So, yeah, if the Packers don't win that division, they're a fraud, period.
There was two comments. Win the division or run the table? What's the difference? Like, are they a fraud if they don't run the table?
Packers aren't running the table. Yep. I don't. You said run the table. I don't know that. I hope they do.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either.
Well, they're going to lose to the Vikings.
Minnesota, yeah, winning at Minnesota is tough.
You think they're going to win the last five games of the season?
Well, if someone says relax, they will.
Because I don't think they're going to win the next.
I mean, you think they're losing to the Vikings?
They're going to lose to a team for sure. Who that is, I don't know. They're definitely not winning the next five games.
I would agree with that, and I'm a Packer fan.
I mean,
no, but what makes more sense to me is the division.
Tell me, Barry, where?
I'll hear the argument about them not making the division, then they're a fraud. I'll hear that. I think that's more. That's a halfway.
I think they should win the division. You're right.
I don't think if they don't run the table, they're a fraud.
Well, you think that anyway, so I don't.
So if they go 4-1, they're still a fraud?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They finished 12-4 and they're a fraud.
Texans are a fraud too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the Titans, that's a good team.
Nope. I just said they almost went
Super Bowl contender. I just said that's a good team. They're not a fraud. You believe in that Titans team.
I just said that they have not been getting any mention in this discussion. Yeah, that we were division.
Sleeping. He told me during the break, yes. Ryan Tannehill is the sleeper for MVP.
Nope.
You lying. I thought that was funny.
He said if you don't start, 2020 free agency with the MVP candidate Ryan Tannehill, something's wrong with your front.
Yeah,
office.
I'll isolate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Would you do that for you? Bunch of jerks.
Yeah. Right there in the break, we're going to record that. All right. So we'll continue to roll. We got one segment to go on the show. That means that we take you till 4, then we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. They'll tell you all about the fight this weekend, their wins, their losses, and everything that you need to know between now and 7:00. And it's really simple. You just keep it tuned right here to ESPN.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5. As we wrap a Monday up here on the show. And like I said, good to have everybody back. As it's a Thanksgiving week, vacations abound across the platform here as everybody's out. But we were in today, so that's very good. So I'm always pleased to hear about that.
Text line is busy. Some dudes are being jerks. No surprise. One guy's like, explain to me one more time how scoring more points and kicking off allows the other team to score more points. Usually... when you score more points, the other team has an opportunity to possess the ball more often. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you have longer drives that and just end up in a punt and that it eats more time.
Now, I noticed that when you're doing this, you're actually talking slower too. Is that so to send another message?
Because a lot of times, if you're not scoring points, you're driving. You're on a long drive. You have to punt. You're scoring more points How to put this the right way? Everybody gets more possessions. Go back and look. There's more possessions, which is more opportunities to score. How about that? That's the easy way to put it. Those losses were mainly with Marcus Mariota. That was also a point that we were making.
Yeah.
And Titan Hugo finally agrees with me. Go figure.
Wow. Shocker.
Go figure. Titan Hugo agrees with me because I'm talking good about the Titans. Look, don't mistake me just mentioning them as me thinking they're going to win the division, but I'm just telling you that we've been sleeping on them. And I say we collectively as sports talk. They don't get much mention or run, but they should. Mm-hmm. So that's fair. That's it.
Sure. So there you have that. With that being said, Monday Night Football tonight, good game.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see on the road the Baltimore Ravens take on a Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald defense.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens. You know, I don't think the Rams are anywhere near what they were when they were the Super Bowl representative of the NFC last year. But I still think that they can play defense. I think Wade Phillips, if you want any defensive coordinator that can put a one-game plan scheme together to slow down somebody, I'd put money on Wade to do a good job.
I would. I have a lot of trust in Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator.
For sure.
I think he's good at what he does. Everywhere he goes, he's successful as a DC.
So let's I guess I'm going to peep that because the Rocks don't play till Wednesday. So I got nothing to watch there. So I might as well watch some Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I've got stuff to do. We've got family coming in town, so got to get the house ready, I suppose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know what? Again, when you start talking about the Texans and all of the fans and all the upset feelings,
mm-hmm.
you could be the Cowboys. Now, mm-hmm. I will say this. They got screwed on two calls. The tripping penalties were ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where you sometimes realize you don't just play the Patriots, but you can play more than that when the referees are involved. That was unfortunate. But overall, you got to score a touchdown. Your offense didn't score a touchdown, all that. Granted, the weather conditions were bad. But it looks like the honeymoon is finally over between Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett.
Ooh, boy.
And his staff. Because after the game, where he normally kind of soft sells it and talks about how, you know, that's my coach and everything's good, he wasn't quite that way this time in the fact that he was really ready to crap on anybody and everybody on the coaching staff. If you saw that, and he talked about, he started with special teams, but he basically justified that he was extremely frustrated that that guy over there, referring to Belichick and his staff, they know how to game plan, they know how to coach, they know how to scheme. Basically then saying that he's not quite sure he had the same kind of help on the other side.
It's not looking good for Jason Garrett. That is for sure. That's a fan base that has been sick of him for a very long time. He's the Bill O'Brien of Dallas for sure.
Yep.
He is not loved in that city. Fans, I think, feel like the Cowboys, when they do win in spite of Jason Garrett, not because of Jason Garrett. And every Cowboy fan that I know that's a friend has been calling for that dude's job for a very long time.
Yep.
And Jerry Jones has been really good about publicly, at least, backing him and having his back. And this is the first time you've really heard, uh-oh, maybe that's coming to an end. And if you're Dak Prescott, this isn't the ideal time for all this to be occurring either, because you're fighting for a contract. And you've got, you know, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe he goes to Jerry Jones and says, well, look who my coach is. I obviously am worth the money. We just got a bad coach. So it's a mess right now in Dallas.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
I don't know how you look at Jason Garrett. The thing is, who's going to want to work for Jerry Jones? That's number one. Number two, I've never looked at Jason Garrett as an X and O coach. When I think of X's and O's, I think of, you know, Sean Payton. I think of Belichick. I think of really good coaches. I don't put Jason Garrett in that dynamic at all. And if you really think about it, an X's and O's coach is what they might need. And it may not work well with an owner like Jerry Jones. That's why I feel like this predicament is really bad if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
Here's what I was going to say. As much as we talk about the fact that the cupboard is bare, who wants to take a general manager's job when you're not going to have any money? You have to resign the guys you have to resign, like Tunsil and Deshaun, and the fact that all your draft picks have been given away trying to win this year. And if Bill O'Brien goes, what coach wants to get involved in that too? But also, on the flip side, what guy, first of all, he doesn't have a general manager. He is the owner and the general manager. What coach is going to want to take that gig? unless there's an understanding, like when Bill Parcells was there and basically said, look, you can give me your input or whatever, but again, if I'm going to be the one responsible for serving dinner, I'm going to have a say-so in picking the groceries. That's the kind of mentality you're going to have a coach with a lot of experience. Now, the rumor is, and Clarence isn't going to like this, but he still has a house there. He was a one-time coach there.
Mm-mm.
And Drew Brees is getting towards the end of his career. They're saying Sean Payton would be – everybody thought it was going to be Lincoln Riley. There's a lot of rumors out there starting to gain some traction that say Sean Payton might be the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah, I was shocked to hear that too, with all the good he's done and how long he's been in New Orleans.
And if they win, you think he's still becoming that coach? Like if they win the Super Bowl?
Maybe. Maybe because of the fact that the irons will never be hotter. That he won't be a commodity this popular and this sought after.
Well, and Drew Brees is getting older.
And with Drew Brees getting older, you know what you got with Teddy Bridgewater and or whatever else you got. But, boy, you go to Dallas and that cupboard is full. Cupboard is real full. Got a really good offensive line. Just paid a running back. Yes, you have to sign Dak and a receiver.
I don't know.
Defense is really young and good for the most part.
If you're Sean Payton, do you think he signs Dak?
I just think he's too demonstrative. I don't think. You think he signs Dak? Is that what
you think? That's part of the conundrum, I think, for the Cowboys. Is what do you do first? Do you go out and if you're going to replace Jason Garrett, do you get a head coach and let him decide? Does he want Dak Prescott, or do they want to go out and try to draft or sign? You know, or do something else?
Or, by the way, Barry, did you see the numbers put up by the guy that is looking for big time money as your number one receiver?
Uh-huh.
Amari Cooper with a goose egg.
Uh-huh.
And he wants big money to be your starting number one wide receiver, too. There's some big decisions that abound in Dallas, but if you can go in and make those decisions with the owner and you can understand that, you know what, I'll decide whether, whether I want Dak or someone else. Because here's the thing. Not that it would be popular, but maybe it would. But his guy, who we talked about on this show, Teddy Bridgewater, is going to be available, too.
If he does like, yeah.
And if he likes Teddy... And he takes Teddy to go with Zeke. And then maybe you do sign Amari and you still got the receiving core and you got everybody else that I talked about. Like I said, also the whole Dallas thing, the fact that he still has a house there. He likes it there. He lives there in the offseason. He's getting married. And if he can get that long-term security deal like Gruden got with the Raiders, and Jerry would, I don't think Jerry'd be opposed to that. If he could lock down a guy like Sean Payton, keep an eye on that one. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, also Brandon Brooks, the one-time Texan, not afraid to admit that he had to leave the game yesterday for the Eagles because of anxiety issues.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And he said he's not afraid of it. He's not scared to admit it. It's not something that he feels bad about. It's something that he has to deal with. And that was just something that popped up. And he just signed a new deal, too. So I'm sure there's going to be people out there that are going to be poo-pooing and picking. But good for him for being able to come forth and not hide from it.
By the way, Amos said, I think you forget Peyton just signed a 4-year extension. Well, that doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. Yeah. Everybody can get out of every contract at any time. Just look at
if
college
they win
coaching.
A Super Bowl, though, I that's the only part where I might disagree with you because I hadn't heard that rumor.
How long?
But like you just, if like they win like a Super Bowl.
I feel like a Drew Brees retirement.
That's what I'm
saying. Might be the bigger one. But
what
a Super
if Drew Bowl, Brees, no. who's we already but know if they win a set Super all Bowl? These records, and he wins the Super Bowl, and he might go, I'm gone.
Well,
fading into the sunset like Peyton Manning.
But if they have if Peyton has a 4-year extension, I mean I'm sure there's a buyout clause or something, or there's a list of teams that he could go to if he was offered a job, but that's another hurdle if he's got an extension.
The name's been floated out there as leader in the clubhouse more than Lincoln Riley.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. I'm gonna Google that.
Because like I said, if you're talking about irons never hotter. Lincoln Riley, with the two Heisman Trophy winners, regardless of what Jalen Hurts does this year and what he's done, he'll be pretty sought after by the NFL.
See, that would be who I would think would be the odds-on favorite.
He has been all
year. Over. Yeah.
But I heard Sean Payton's name on a couple of different sites and shows today.
Good times.
All right, good times like the time we had here on a Monday, guys. So let's do it all again tomorrow. So with that being said, we appreciate you guys being suspects. Before we head to the break and turn it over to the Blitz, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy one more time. I switched about 3 years ago. I just renewed. I'll tell you why. I like saving thousands of dollars. And that's exactly what they did for me, because they took the time to ask questions. When I use energy the most, when I use it the least, it's for my family, it's not for my business. So they could pinpoint the best rate, best deal they could possibly give me. They do the same thing for you. Several suspects have already signed up with them, and they keep calling me and saying, hey, what's that company and how do I get involved? You can call the CEO directly, Josh Pesikoff. You tell him I sent you by, he'll talk to you, he'll tell you what they can do, and he's going to be honest with you, because he's never going to try and screw you over. He's always going to be honest. So much so, their customer service department, 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best rating you can get. That's what you want when you're doing any kind of business with anybody. Check them out at infuseenergy.com or call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Mention ESPN 97.5 right off the top, $25 bill credit, and they will go from there. Simply put, it's 100% green energy at your fingertips and affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.